Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, good to be with you on a Football Friday. Again, Texans, Saints tomorrow night, preseason, week one, Saints coming to town, and it's just great to have football back. We'll get things started with Texans Countdown at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Seth and I will be on the pregame, and then, of course, on the postgame, it'll be me and Clint Sterner taking you into the wee hours of the morning on Sunday morning.
We've got a marital negotiation going on.
We do. What's going on?
Hannah's okay. Trying to be demure and not get on the microphone, I think.
Okay.
She won't put a headset on. How are you going to...
She's getting... So Hannah's getting a headset. Here we go. Yeah. This is customer service right here. So we welcome in. You hear that voice, and it's a familiar voice. We welcome into the studio with us here on a Football Friday. Texans Chairman, CEO... Cal McNair joining us in studio. Cal, it's great to see you. Last time I saw you, I could barely see because of all the smoke coming up from the grilling that you and I were doing. But we had a great time out there the other day.
That was fun. Thanks for helping out there. That was great fun. Your partner sort of bailed on us, so I don't know where he went. But
I was okay. Here's a I didn't know if we were a little confused about that.
What's up?
Whether I was supposed to be over there or not.
Okay.
I had to. Well, Matt Musil had asked me to do something. Yeah. Like, you guys see Matt Musil from KHOU. He's been in the business a while, and he's out there working like 12-hour days. And he was standing in the heat waiting for me. And I thought, Sean's got this. I got to go help Matt Musil out and do what I was supposed to do.
Right.
So I apologize.
Right. So, yeah. So Seth was putting out content on the Houston Texans.
Nobody needs me sweating on their burgers. it would have been bad. You guys did just fine.
Yep. It's great to have you in studio, Cal. Let's start with that because there has definitely been a vibe out there this year. You know, the Cal's cookout for the fans is just, I think, one element of it. But I think we've seen it every day out there because we're out there covering the team. And fans who've been out of practice are a fraction of the fans who are going to be there at the stadium on Saturday. But there is a very palpable effort, it seems like, for the team to connect with the fan base, connect with the city of Houston. Can you just talk about the genesis of all that?
Love to. We are evolving as an organization. I'm really excited and energized by it. It's a lot of fun to see it as it progresses. We're challenging each other. That's one of our mottos, is challenge everything. We want to be trying new things. We want to be listening to the fans. The fans are the heart of where we want to be going. So we want to be listening to the fans. They have really enjoyed the new things we've been trying. The red helmets, they've loved. The Miller Outdoor Theater, we've never had a draft day party outside of any magnitude. So we're trying new things. Some of them will work. Some of them won't work. But we want to sort of be fearless and try new things and listen to the fans and respond to them. What we hear most from the fans is they want to win. Mm-hmm. And I think we have the pieces in place with Nick and Coach Lovey and their plan to put that together. And I have a lot of confidence in them. And I can't wait to watch it as it progresses.
Is it when I try to put myself in your shoes, or really like any NFL owner's shoes, it seems... There's a lot of things I wouldn't be good at. And one of them would be like listening to input at times, I think. I think I would try real hard. But when you've been out amongst the fans a lot, I think by even NFL owner standards, the last few months, have people been frank with you? Have you been able to kind of have conversations with people about what their opinions are?
Well, I hope they give me their true feelings, but they've been very supportive. The fans have a lot of passion for the team. they're fanatics. I mean, they're wonderful fans. There's a passion, and they want to see us win, mm-hmm. and they want to get behind us, and they want a team they're proud of, and we're committed to doing that.
Cal McNair in studio with us here on Sports Radio 610. You mentioned Nick and Lovey, and Nick is somebody that had been on your radar for a while. Can you talk about when he first sort of got onto your radar as somebody who might be the right guy to lead this team? And what was it about Nick Caserio long before he became here that might have drawn you to him?
Oh, gosh. I haven't thought about that in a while. It's been a number of years when we were looking at general managers with Dad was in the search.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick was at the top of our list. And we were not able to interview him due to the NFL rules, which is fine. And then we tried again, and he wasn't available. And then he became available, and so he was someone that had been on the top of my list. When I knew he was available, we were very aggressive and went out and got him. But he's a premier personnel guy that we've seen that. We've watched him and seen what he has done with the former team he was with.
Yeah.
And they're really good friends of ours. So we've worked through all that and got him here and excited to see him go to work. And he is just so focused on his job and getting the team and getting the roster. And he's really good at that. So we're excited to have him.
Yeah. What's it like watching? Because you guys, we saw the video. You guys were in the war room. What's that like watching him operate on draft day? Because you've been in a lot of NFL war rooms before with a lot of different people. What can you tell us about Nick Caserio in that environment?
Well, it's sort of old school. He has very few people in there.
Hmm.
And he relies a lot on the boards and moving names around, you know, by hand, and he'll have his little group and, the head scouts, and they'll say, okay, well, this is a group of players we like, and they're not afraid to move up and move down to get someone out of that group. And then once you move out of that area, they'll form another group and they'll move up and down. And maybe I'm giving too much away, but
yeah, that's you said all that. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, what's that like? That's always an interesting dynamic to me. And different owners handle it differently. But like, what's that like when you're there as an observer and you don't want to get in the way, but you're also the owner of the team. Like, do you have to bite your tongue sometimes, or when you're trying to, when you can tell it's a hot moment and there's a lot of activity?
Well, I love to observe it and stay out of the way. I just have a lot of confidence in Nick in watching him operate. It just is sort of masterful, you know, in how he's doing it and moving around and getting the players he likes. And he's been good at it. He's had a couple of drafts under his belt. And I'm really excited to see his first draft, which is entering their second year, how they progress with Nico and the quarterback and all those guys, and also this draft, and see how these guys are going to contribute probably a little later in the year.
Sure.
But a lot of times, however far you go, will depend a bit about how your draft picks come along.
Yep.
And so we're excited to see that.
The draft parties are more exciting with multiple first-round picks, I will say that. That was a lot of fun out at Miller Outdoor Theater this year.
That was fun. And we've never had one outside in a big event. It's been inside in the West Club, a fairly small group, but they wanted to try something new. And so, again, it was something we're evolving and, challenging ourselves. And we're doing it again with the luncheon. We have a team luncheon.
Well, it's now an evening event.
And now Hannah's come up with an idea of having an evening event, which we've never had an evening event. It's always been a team luncheon. And the team is really excited about doing an evening event. The coaches and all the Nick's wife and
yep. Coach so is it, do you think get dressed? Do you working. Get more dressed up for this one than for the luncheon?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
It's an evening event.
Yeah.
You know, it's the players will after the official event. The players will be doing. They'll be the dealers for casino night. So it's in the bubble.
Really?
Yeah, it's in the bubble.
Jordan's going to be really good at that.
Yeah. Awesome,
Brevin Jordan's.
We are sold out.
Sold out.
Oh, really?
Which is incredible.
We can only even get to sell that.
Yeah.
Well, it sold out while you were on air.
People
with us.
I will say, Cal's boss, his mom, insisted on there being an auction item for Cal's grilling at our home. So there will be an item, and Travis Johnson has agreed to grill with Cal and Vince Wilfork.
Oh, okay.
Oh, those will be grilling.
Those are two master grillers right there.
We've got brisket, chicken.
We'll be smoking as well. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll have to start early. So that's an auction. So an auction item is to come to Casa McNair and grill in the backyard.
So that has not been sold yet.
But right.
All the tables have been sold. And
right.
Well, though, yeah, the one time I've run into Cal in nature, like away from football, was
in the wild,
in Academy Sports, when you were picking up some grilling supplies.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah, randomly on like a just random. There's the owner of the NFL team picking up grilling supplies.
That's
like
it.
It was pretty cool.
Out of
actually, like you're not just doing it for PR purposes or what have you. You're into your grilling.
I ran into Sean in the wild, almost hit him with my car as I was turning.
Yeah, I was really going back through and thinking about what I said on the radio that day. Like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, no, I run into you guys sometimes when I'm getting my
Wait a second. In. Hannah ran into you in the wild, which meant like when you were camped
he was crossing
your house.
The street.
No,
yeah,
I was
at
walking
our house.
On Del Monte over there in town.
Just and, randomly, yeah,
yeah
whatever.
Yeah.
No,
just, yeah,
you
I'm
make
not.
It sound like I was in a tree with a pair of binoculars. No, I was on my walk and I hear behind me, I hear a window roll down. Hey, Sean. And I said, oh, hey, Hannah. And then I really started going back through in my head. I'm thinking, well, I hope I didn't say anything on the radio.
That was last year. So,
yeah.
Yes, you did say things on the radio.
I probably did.
We do have some other cool stuff for y'all. We came with a bag full of
goodies.
Modelo.
Yep. The new beer partner.
Very cool shirt.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Houston with a Texans logo for the first O and then a Lovey silhouette for the second O with his nice white beard.
That's really cool. Now that James Harden is no longer here, Lovey just stepped right into the breach and he is now the most famous long beard in Houston right there.
That's true. His is more of a It's a well kept beard, I guess.
Yes, very well kept.
So you'll see H-Town, where our team is a team that hustles.
Yep.
Team plays with heart.
Yep.
And we are H-Town, and we are connected to H-Town, and it's something we believe in. And another thing that Lovey says is show up and show out. So you'll see that in some of our marketing. And so some of the things our new chief marketing officer is doing is bringing these things throughout the whole organization. And so we're all on one page. And the fans can really connect to that.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I'm assuming fans will be able to get their hands on these T-shirts.
You got the first one.
I got the first one off the press, but that's good. Well, okay, awesome.
And, you know, that was...
First two.
Doug, the VP of marketing,
yeah.
Right? We both talked to him a good amount or a good chunk, and he is very passionate about, like, getting the connection to the fans and in a way that I feel like... It feels like one of these guys that gets it in sports now.
Yeah.
And like those H-Town T-shirts that everybody is really happy about. Hannah was explaining like there might be a little bit of Paul Wall inspiration behind the font on there.
Oh, right.
And the placement on the T-shirts and everything.
Slim Thug and Paul Wall. That was their song.
Yeah.
Texas tatted on my arm, Houston on my back.
That's right.
Yeah.
She translated for the two of us.
Yeah, she kind of shamed me earlier for not knowing Paul Wall.
She kind of did that in the beat, too.
Cal's done a great job with getting these leaders in and really enabling them to evolve and change and challenge us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. From where we were, Cal's reflected. You know, he spent some time reflecting on where we were, how we need to get better, and really just not settling for status quo.
Yeah, absolutely. I was curious about that, Cal. Like, when did that? Was there a point in time where that sort of hit? Like, we kind of need to just reevaluate and reconnect and kind of reimagine who we are as a team.
Kind of a little bit of a hit the reset button, and
yeah,
because we were good. We were good for a long time.
Yep.
And we've been talking lately about some of the fun games we've had. And memorable games and big games, and some of them we won and some we lost, but a lot of them have been very memorable, and we want to get over that, and we want to go from good. We've been good, but I want us to be great, and I'm challenging our folks and asking them to evolve and asking them what they need to do that and giving them those resources, and it's exciting. They have the ability to try new things. Like we mentioned, Miller Outdoor Theater, we have these H-Town shirts,
yep.
We have the red helmet, we're reaching out to the fans, we're trying new things. Some will work, some may not work.
Yeah.
But that's going to be the nature of it. But we want to be aggressive and fearless and try to go out there and evolve.
I think one of the things that's been really cool, you mentioned Vince Wilfork before, but Andre Johnson's been very present out at practice. Jonathan Joseph's been out there. Jonathan Joseph's going to be on the radio broadcast this weekend. It feels like there's a reconnection going on with the, I'll call it the Texans alumni, we'll call it. I mean, I know there's always been the Legends program and the Ambassador program, But it does hit different when it's guys like Andre Johnson and Jonathan Joseph out there. Can you speak to that and what that's felt like and how important that is to the team?
Well, that is important. That's part of our history. We love our old, not our old players, but
not
our former, former
right,
players.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not quite that. Arp yet, but yeah, he's
but,
getting there.
You know, House of Pain was fun, and I remember that. And we had a great defense back then, and we want to get back to, you know, the great defense again. But, yeah, having the players feel welcomed in is and we talked about this with Coach Lovey. That's important to him. And so a lot of these things are easy for us to do because of Coach and his want to go out and reach out to the player, former players and invite them to practices and communicate with them. And he'll do that with the fans in the off season. Primarily, he'll go out with the fans and have you know, Q&As with the fans.
He sells tickets to them in the ticket office.
Sell tickets to the ticket office. But then once football season starts, sort of that ends.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but he recognizes it and he reaches out and enjoys the fans and enjoys having the former players in.
Well, yeah, you know, and if I think back to 2002 and when we started off practicing, NRG was still being built. We were in the Astrodome, like down in the bowels of the Astrodome. There was like, every morning they had to wipe off the dust from the rodeo that had filtered in through. Like that was when we were first there working out in February of that year. But then when we got into mini camps and the whole team was there, the first time your father addressed the team, it was in that little auditorium in the Astrodome, and it was like poorly lit. And it was really, it's amazing if you think about where it is now from what it was at that point. But your dad said something that as a player struck me as unique to an NFL owner in a lot of ways, which was he spoke to us. One of the first things he talked to us about was his story of how he came to bring the Texans to Houston was that after the Oilers had left, you know, as I remembered, he said he never really had any dreams of owning an NFL team or anything. But the Oilers left, and after a few years, they realized nothing was replacing it.
Yeah.
And like he felt like as a matter of civic responsibility that they needed to get football back here. And that just, it struck me as a player that it felt like a higher ideal as an NFL owner that you don't necessarily look at. But in some ways, too, looking back on it, you know, your dad was a very savvy businessman, obviously, but in some ways it felt kind of naive, perhaps, that like, man, boy, you signed up for a lot.
Yeah.
You signed up for a lot. Yeah. So what have you learned in that last 20 years since kind of being like, hey, rah, rah, hey, we got a team here, to everything you've learned to where you are now?
That is like one of the best questions I think I've ever heard in my whole life. That was awesome. Yeah, well, football is important. Football's in the fabric of Houston and in Texas, and people bleed football, and I did as a young man, as a young kid, probably same as you, walking out to football fields at the end of the summer, at the beginning of fall, with a helmet in our hand. You know, when we were probably 5 or 6 years old, I forget how old we were. My dad was coaching me in a church league, and so we were playing there. And I've been walking out to football fields, you know, ever since. And I've been lucky enough to be doing that again, you know, for 20 years, even after, you know, UTO did it. And so it was a long time playing, but even a long time now as an owner and as a, you know, someone behind that. So, but football is important, and football brings people together, and we do embrace that it is more than football, and we want to give back to the community, and we want to be a fabric of the community, and that's been in our DNA. And I think you saw it this week with the players got together and gave backpacks to some school kids going back
cool.
to school. They did that on their own.
Yep.
And I'm so proud that they do that, and it's sort of what we want to see throughout our organization, that it's in the DNA that we know we're important to Houston. We know we're going to work so hard to bring a winner here. We're going to be there when the hurricane hits.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, you know, be part of the fabric and giving back. So that's really, really a big part of what we do and what we believe in. So
that's his parents. That's his mom. That's his dad. That's who they were. I mean, yeah. They saw a hole in Houston's heart. And so they brought football here to help fill that. But in that, they always did it the right way, which is what Cal's doing now. He's carrying that on. And part of that is giving back to the community, being there when they need you, being there in the ups and the downs. Yep. That's what you're there for.
Do you remember the first time that your dad mentioned that he wanted to bring NFL football to Houston? Do you remember that conversation at all? Like, what was your reaction to it?
Well, it was awesome. It took quite a few years. We were actually working on a power plant in Baltimore. In Baltimore, lost the Colts in the middle of the night.
Yep.
In fact, one of my friends was a kicker, Raul Alegre.
Yeah.
Kicked at UT, then was kicking for them in Baltimore. Then he had a long break, and they called him. He said, well, where am I going? They said, well, come to Indy, because they moved the team. And he didn't even tell the players. Yeah. So he, in talking to the business community in Baltimore, he saw that there was, like Hannah mentioned, you know, kind of a hole in their heart where they lost their team.
Yep.
It was there, and then it was gone, and they got nothing. And they really felt it. And Dad, and then it happened to us here in Houston, and he felt that hole, and he worked a long time with the league. And actually, the league said this next expansion is going to L.A.
Yeah.
And but Dad said, well, you got to put a time limit on it. And so they said, okay, it's going to L.A., but you got to have your deal done by thus and such time. I forget if it was a month or 2-3 months or whatever. And so they voted on it, and then if it, they weren't able to do it, it would go to Houston. And so they came out of the meeting, and John McClain said, well, how does it feel? You just lost the vote. And Dad said, what do you mean? I just won. Because what are you thinking? He said, well, L.A. will never get it together.
Yeah.
And so it'll be coming to Houston. And so this Nailed is a great it. Day. And I'll be darned if he was right. But that's Dad. I mean, he was so optimistic and always looking on the bright side of things.
Yeah.
And making lemonade out of lemons, and so he was a great role model and great father.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's a great wrinkle to this. I had not heard the Baltimore aspect of that. That's, if that conversation doesn't take place, you guys aren't building a power plant up there. Maybe there's not a football team here right now.
Well, we didn't build a power plant up there. There was a lot of permitting issues.
Oh, okay.
But we tried to.
Yeah.
We tried very hard.
Okay. We got football. That's what I right. that's what I was
but
having.
Football came here.
That's so. Right. Football came here. Absolutely. Cal McNair, Hannah McNair, both in studio with us. We really appreciate you. It's great having you guys up here. I hope we get to do this again, and we're certainly looking forward to tomorrow night, getting the preseason kicked off, and looking forward to seeing you guys out and about. And I'll be sure to stay on the sidewalk, Hannah, if you drive by or anything. I'll be sure to recount what I said on the radio that day. That was a funny moment. I enjoyed that.
Well, it's great seeing you all out at training camp.
And thank you for the gear.
And practices. And yeah. Well, thanks for the gear. And thanks for having us on. And thanks for all y'all do out in the community serving burgers. But also, you know, all the great work you do for us. And I know you have to be critical at times, but we appreciate your support.
Well, we appreciate you guys certainly letting us do the job that we do. And we're excited to be partners with you guys, obviously. You know that as well. Cal and Hannah McNair in studio with us here on Payne and Pendergast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.